Amen. The Bible says, tribulation worketh patience. Patience. I know what it says. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. So this thing with vehicles breaking down, we have experience. Because of previous tribulation. So, amen. We'll be fine. One way or another, we'll be fine. Amen. There was a time where we would look at each other and wring our hands, knowing that God would see us through. But anymore, man, He's done it so many times now. We just sit back and watch and see how He's going to do it. And ask for the Lord to give us open doors somewhere along the way. Say the right thing. Be a blessing. Be an encouragement. That doesn't mean we don't covet prayers. So I do covet your prayers, amen. All right, I didn't say anything about the book last night, and I've had it here before a couple of times, but it's a little different. It's a little different. It was picked up by HarperCollins Christian Publishing, and so it's no longer self-published. They let me revise it. We went through it, and made a few just very slight changes. One big difference you'd see is that it's thicker. It's 100 pages more than the one you got last time. It's because the print's larger. That wasn't even my idea. But it's impressive. It's starting to look like that book up. Okay, not much like that one. But, amen. The biggest change is that we brought the price down 30%. That thing was $20, and you guys supported it, and I hope have handed, maybe a few out. That's kind of an expensive gospel tract, but over 11,000 of them have been distributed, closer to 12. It's got into places that I could have never got into, or you either. And the Lord's used it, and that's what we wanted Him to do. And the real deal about bringing the price down is because, surely, in 2 years, you've got a burden for some biker somewhere. I'm trying to make it possible for you to get that book and maybe give it to them. So, they're back there, $13 instead of $20, and I know many just walk by the table because, there's nothing new as far as that goes, but amen, I want to let you know that. And, I don't have any problem asking for you to pray for that project. I didn't have any problem asking you to buy it, matter of fact. But so, anyway, it's going to be back tonight. All right, let me read you something here. This fella is having a little problems. And so he goes to a psychiatrist. And he says to him, Doc, I got trouble. Every time I get into bed, I think there's somebody under it. And I can't sleep. And I get out of bed and I crawl under my bed. And there's nobody under there, but when I get under there, it seems like there's somebody on top. And I get out, and that goes on all night long. On top, under, on top, under. And it's driving me crazy. You got to help me. And the psychiatrist, of course, he knew what to do. He says, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to commit to putting yourself under my care for 2 years. You need to come here 3 times a week for 2 years, and I will help you with this. And the guy said, well, how much is that going to cost? He said, $100 per visit, but I'll cure you of this thing. And the guy says, well, I'm going to have to think about that. Yes. And so he goes, and he never comes back. And 6 months later, the psychiatrist sees him at a store somewhere. And he says, hey, man, I thought you had that real serious problem. He says, you never came back. And he said, no, I never came back. You wanted $100 an hour? My pastor gave me some advice, took care of the problem just like that for free. And the psychiatrist said, oh, yeah, he did he? What did he say? And then he said, my pastor told me to cut the legs off the bed. You need to think about that for a minute. Because some things really are that simple. This world comes up with complicated solutions to things that really just a little common sense what you get in a Bible-believing church. Amen. You get common sense. And we just have the common sense to do what the Bible says. But a lot of issues wouldn't be issues. A lot of things pastors deal with, they wouldn't have to deal with if Christians would just come to church and get a hold of the precepts that are being taught and implement them in their lives and ask God to help them when they need help. But boy, I'll tell you what, we'll go to the end of the earth to get counsel from the ungodly. Isn't that addressed in someone? Some things are as simple as cutting the legs off the bed. Okay, I know you missed that, but I'm glad Brother Vlad back there. I only got one button tonight. Amen. They simplified it, and I still blew it. I guess. I don't know. Anybody didn't hear me? Okay, that's what I thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right, let's see about this water. Okay, that's a blessing. Amen. Cold waters to a thirsty soul. Amen. All right, so I'm just going to, I'm reading the whole chapter back there, and I'm trying to find a nice place to jump in, but I can't find, unless you want to start at verse 1. And I really just want to preach tonight out of verse 15. So would you give me the liberty to just read verse 15? Okay, good. Thank you. We didn't have a vote there. You guys are pretty quiet. That's okay. I know what to do. Verse 15, it says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." It says in verse 14, it's talking about the natural man. We read the verse last night, "Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual," right? So if you're saved, if you're saved, there's some things that are available to you from God. Amen. And one of them, it says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." So as a child of God, you're in church on Thursday night, so I'm hoping you're here for the right reasons. I can't imagine what the wrong reason would be. I mean, there probably is some, but I'm not going to give you a list to think about. Amen. But as a child of God, wherever you're at, whatever your status, however long you've been saved, it ought to be your desire to be spiritual. It's not something that comes automatically with salvation. Amen. That's for sure. And that's why we grow in grace and knowledge. Amen. And we become more spiritual, and you ought to want to. And so the verse gives you a little clue here. It says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." So if you want to be spiritual, and I hope you do, amen, you're going to have to judge some things. You're going to have to judge some things. Amen. That's what the verse says. So I want to preach to you tonight about judging. And it's not hard. It's not deep. Because if there's anything, human beings, across the board, if there's anything that human beings are prone to do, is judge. We do it. It comes natural. It's part of the package. We've been doing it all our lives. We were doing it before we got saved. We're doing it after we get saved. We judge everything. We judge people. We judge places. We judge things. We judge everything. So I just want to say to you tonight that that's okay. It's not only okay to judge, God expects you to judge. It tells us to judge. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, the difference between what we're supposed to do to be spiritual and what we actually do is found over in John chapter 7. Go ahead and turn there. John chapter 7, and look in verse 24. Now remember, it says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." But John 7 and 24 says this:
judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So what I want to preach tonight is how to judge righteously. We judge. We've been doing it. We got a lot of practice, and we're supposed to. But what we need a little help at, and we're going to get some tonight, is how to judge righteously. Because if you're going to do it, you want to do it right. Correct? Nod your head. Okay? Yeah. Nod your head. You can do it. I know you can. Okay. Good. I can hear some of you. Amen. All right. So let's pray. Father, I do love you. And I pray that you'd manifest yourself tonight in this message. I pray it'll be a help. I ask you what to preach. I believe that I got your mind on this tonight, but even so, I confess I need your help. And God forbid I ever step in any man's pulpit without admitting that, at least between me and you. Father, I pray you'd manifest yourself tonight in some way. This is an area, Lord God, there's a little confusion about to some degree. Here's an area that some of us have abused. And so help us to learn to do it right. And then we might be pleasing in your sight and glorifying your Son. And we pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so judge righteously. How to judge righteously? Now let me give you a definition. Now, I got a little more experience at this than some of you, I hope. Amen. But a judge, by definition, a judge is a person that has the skill to decide on the merits of a question. One who can discern truth and propriety. So when you have the commission to judge all things, when you have an order from God to judge righteously, you have to determine whether or not, in any given situation, whether or not you're qualified to be a judge. Amen. Because judging is serious business. A couple times, it's been going almost 25 years now, but a couple times I stood in a federal courtroom, and that's a serious thing right there. And I stood before the Honorable Walter Herbert Rice, chief judge. He finally became the chief judge of the 6th Federal Territory. And I got arraigned there. I was given a bond under him. And eventually I was sentenced there to the probation and the community service and all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, you walk in a federal courtroom, it's not a joking matter. It's serious business. I mean, you go in there and there's a crowd of people from the church there that there to send me off because I had pled guilty to charges that, you know, were going to put me away for 7 years. And, hey, I was getting a break at that. And I went to court that day with the, not intention might not be the word, but the expectation to leave with the federal marshals. And they're over there going, looking at me, you know, and everybody thought I was going to get in a van and get shackled to the floor and taken over to a federal prison. But when that judge, boy, I'll tell you what, those big oak doors, like 10 feet high, when they opened and that bailiff stood up and said, "All rise," amen, I already was standing, and everybody in the courtroom stood up, and this Jewish man, Judge Rice, he walked in with that long robe, and he ascended up to the bench. And right behind him is the great seal of the United States of America. It was pretty impressive. Especially in light of the fact that that man, I mean, he'd sent thousands, in 22 years at that time, thousands of men to prison, some of them for the rest of their life. He had a lot of power. It wasn't a game, man. This ain't traffic court. It's a big deal. And, you know, I'm looking at my Bible and I see that there are times when it's necessary for me to assume a position that's pretty serious when it comes to judging. It's not a game. And we need to do it. We need to do it righteously. In other words, we need to do it right. And so we're going to have to figure out how to do it right because that doesn't come natural. But I want to give you some parameters on how to do it right since you're what? Well, a he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So if you don't care anything about being spiritual, I got another message for you some other time. But boy, if you're here tonight and you've got a desire to get something from the Lord, this is what the Lord's got for you. John chapter 12. Go to John chapter 12. I'll give you the first rule of judging. First rule of judging tonight. First rule of judging, John chapter 12 and verse 48. And the Bible says this, he that rejecteth me, you know, might want to notice who's talking. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. For the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So let me say this, rule number one, and perhaps the most important rule. I guess I can say that without reservation. Rule number one, judge according to this book. Judge according to Scripture. You better keep your judging in the Word of God if you're going to do it right. And don't be taking verses out of context to prove whatever it is you want to prove. It's called resting the Scriptures, and the crowd that it's mentioned that about that did it to their own destruction. You better judge according to the Word of God, and you better do it right. Amen. And when you don't judge according to Scripture, your experience, and even worse, your opinion takes over. And that what? That makes you the authority. And I'm not even going to ask you if you're qualified to do that. I'm just going to tell you, you're not. It's too serious a matter, and you better keep it in the Word of God, and you're going to have to judge, and you're going to judge, but you got a Bible here, and you better be real careful. Judge according to Scripture. Here's where the red flags go up. Situation presents itself, and instead of a Bible verse or instead of a desire to see how the Word of God would handle it, these words come to your mind, perhaps. But I think. That's where the red flags ought to go up when it comes time to judging, especially other people. Now let me say this. You're allowed to have your own thoughts and opinions and preferences. You're just not allowed to use them as a basis for judging. Amen. Why? Because God, because everybody's not in the same place spiritually in their walk with Jesus Christ. Everybody's not at the same place. Amen. And God does not lay the same convictions on everybody at the same time. So wherever you are, that's fine. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, you better be real careful about judging other people according to whatever it is, you know, you think or whatever place you happen to be in any given moment, man. You're out of order. That's not how it's supposed to be. You are not the standard Gestapo. Listen, that may sound funny. I've been at this little while, not as long as some, but I've met them, man. I mean, they might as well come in with hobnail boots and stormtrooper uniforms, because they got it all figured out what everybody else is supposed to do. And that ain't the way it's supposed to be. Amen? I told Daniel I was sharing tonight, so I'm trying to calm down a little. But, amen. Let me tell you something, man. I came in the back door of a church with hair down the middle of my back, a black leather jacket on, and I am glad my pastor had enough sense to give me a chance to let the Holy Spirit lay some things on my heart. Because I'm going to tell you what, if somebody would have came and tried to shove some junk down my throat the way I've seen it done, it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have helped me, and it wouldn't have helped them. I'm serious, it's a heart attack. I've seen some people put in some situations where I thought back, oh man, there have been some I've interceded and came to rescue. Amen. On their behalf, I thought, boy, if anybody had done me like that, there's no way I'd still be around. Talk about street preaching. I've been on the street with some idiots, and I told them, I said, let me explain something to you, pal. If anybody would ever talk to me like that, I'd have knocked their teeth out, wouldn't have thought nothing about it. And there's plenty of others like me out there. You better be led of the Spirit of God. You better be dripping with grace so that the truth, amen, can land somewhere that it might make some kind of difference. That's good preaching. I'm really surprised myself. Amen. Amen. So let me give you a hot tip. We're talking about the rules of judging. We want to do it right. Amen. Okay, I'll take it. But okay. And so let me give you a hot tip. If the Scripture's silent on a subject, maybe you'd do well to be silent on it too. Hello, Bible believer. Amen. All right. So rule number one: judge according to Scripture. Rule number two: Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's Old Testament. Some of you Bible students. Amen. I have fun. I'm having more fun than some of you. Amen. That's not my problem either. I have fun either on either side of the pulpit. Amen. Say, oh, you always right with God? I try to be because I don't like getting yelled at. Amen. Much as some people do, I guess. All right. Yeah, number two. Rule number two, Ecclesiastes 12. And look with me in verse 13. Right, here's what he writes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So, rule number two, judging righteously tonight. Rule number two, you better make sure you have all the facts. Oh, yeah. If you're in a position... And you need to be in judgment about something, I want to remind you, that's serious business. Amen. It's serious business. And if you're going to do it, you better make sure you have all the facts if you're going to do it right. Amen. You better be real careful about forming an opinion before you've heard the whole matter. I was told early on... starting out in Bible, I heard in Bible school in the 90s, and evangelist was doing a class, and he said, be careful of two things. Be careful of flattery. Yeah, be careful of people coming up and, you know, telling you what you want to hear. And there's a verse on that. Let me see. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Listen, I learned that on a street 35 years ago. Be careful when people tell you what you want to hear. Right? People thrive on that kind of thing. And the flags go up for me. I don't trust people. Amen. And I find out that I'm probably more scriptural than some in that regard. That preacher said, beware of flattery. And then he said this. You ever get out and I was preaching around giving my testimony. And I had no clue I was ever going to be doing this for a living. But he said, if you ever get out and you're preaching out away from your church, be real careful of people asking you your opinion. So I don't know anything, and I'm not like some that tend to go, yeah, I see that. I didn't know what he's talking about. So what'd you do? I shut my mouth and opened my ears. When a man started talking, when I was in school, and a guy started talking, I didn't pretend I knew anything. And I wasn't a kid, and I knew a lot of things. But when it came to things, when it come down to serving Jesus Christ and honoring God, I shut my mouth and I listened because I wanted to do it right. I didn't have to impress anybody. Amen. I just wanted to do it right for Jesus Christ's sake. And so that preacher said, be careful of people asking you a question. I took in what he had to say. Now I'm going to give you an example. I was at a church one time, quite a while ago now. A lady comes up to me after I get done preaching. First thing she said was, oh, that was a great message. Hey, listen, flag go up then. I know. That don't work with me. Don't even come to me. Yeah, I know you're tempted, but don't do it. Somebody will. So, then she says this. So she starts with flattery. And then she says, Brother Spurgeon. I could hear her mind going, Oh, thou man of God. She might have said it, who knows? And she said, I need to ask your opinion about something. So I looked at her, and I said, Ma'am, I can give you my opinion about your question without even hearing the question. Boy, she thought I was tapped in before, but she's positive now. I mean, she's like amazed. She goes, You can? And I said, Yeah. Go ask your pastor. That's what I told her. That was my opinion. Don't come to me. Can see what that guy told me? You know what that preacher told me? He said, People come to you that you don't know, and they don't know you, and they'll give you about 40% of the whole story so that you'll say, Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. And then they'll go use it against their pastor. See, this lady had already been to her pastor. Boy, you should have seen her countenance sink when I said that. And I had no clue, but I had good teaching. Amen. And boy, her countenance dropped. And, you know, she just wandered off, you know. And I said something to her pastor later. I said, Yeah, so-and-so. And he said, Oh, man, are you kidding me? I can't believe she came to you. I said, What's up? And he said, You know, she used to sing in karaoke in bars, and then she got saved, and she's been trying to convince me that it'd be okay for her to go down to a country western bar and sing Amazing Grace to a karaoke machine. And she had fully convinced herself it would be okay, and the pastor said, Are you out of your mind? Now what should she have done? She should have rethought the whole thing when her pastor, when the guy that was responsible to give account to God for her, gave her his opinion on the thing. That's kind of clear. Amen? Sounds like my kind of counseling. Are you out of your mind? And but she wasn't happy with that. So here's what she was going to do. She was going to ask every visitor, she was going to ask around till she got the answer she wanted. And it didn't work with me. I'm going to tell you something. That goes for me and my wife. Ladies, don't even try it with my wife because she's going to be the same way. Yeah. Don't go to her and feed her about 40% of the information so that she'll get you to agree, so that you'll get her to agree with you because she's going to send you right to that lady right there. That's what she's going to do. That's what we do. You know why? Because there is no way we could ever, as if, why would anybody want to? But there's no way we could ever investigate all the facts of every matter traveling around week after week and make righteous judgment. That's his job. That's why I would rather be broke down on the side of the road with a blown up Jeep than have to deal with people like that every... I know God gives the grace you need for what He calls you to do. But boy, there have been a few times when pastor friends of mine would tell me about things that they're dealing with, and they don't name names, and they don't program me. It don't work that way. But they you know, get to unload a little bit, and there have been times where I've stopped them in their story and say, Wait a minute, could we just pray? And I say, Oh, dear God, please help my brother. And I just want to thank you once again for making me an evangelist. I'm going to tell you something now. Rule number one, we're Bible believers. You will amen that or I will say it until you do. Okay, I'll take it. All right. And rule number one is judge according to Scripture. Rule number two, you better make sure you get all the facts. That's what it said. It said to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Listen, the next verse, verse 14 says, For God shall bring every work into judgment with, what's that word? Every. Yeah, I looked that up. Okay, you know what I mean. Every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Listen, you and I are prone to judge if we're not real careful. We are prone to judge with incomplete information. That's not righteous judging. Amen. God, on the other hand, He knows every detail. Amen. So let me just say, unless you intend, in a position to, have a need to, unless you intend to get all the facts of a matter from both sides, you're not qualified to judge that situation. Better just stay away from it. Trying to give you the rules of righteous judging tonight. Rule number 3, Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. And look at verse 23. Proverbs 24 and verse 23, rule number 3. Say, how many rules are there? I'm not telling you. Proverbs 24, verse 23, it says, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Rule number 3 is judge fairly. Judge fairly. It seems like that should be a no-brainer, but it isn't. Sometimes we don't get all the facts because we don't really care what the facts are. We judge based on what we want to believe or who we want to believe. And I just want to warn you, and there's Bible verses, other verses for it. Be careful of overlooking, ignoring, or covering up for family or friend while nailing other people to the wall for the exact same thing. That's not righteous judgment. That's not judging fairly. Nothing will destroy your credibility than playing favorites when it comes to judging. It's serious business. And nothing will get you labeled a hypocrite faster than having a double standard when it comes to judging. You hear me tonight? So what are they again? Judge according to Scripture. Make sure you have all the facts. And when you need to judge, and you have to judge, and sometimes you do, you better judge fairly. And if you're going into a situation because of whatever the circumstances are, the people involved, if you can't judge fairly, you better step away and let somebody deal with it that can. 1 Kings chapter 3. Rules for judging righteously. Brother Vlad's back there going, he's changed the title 4 times. Well, you figure out a better title and let me know. And then I'll call it that in the future. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Let me see. It was in here the other day. 1 Kings chapter 3, you know where I'm going. We got old Solomon getting ready to take over for David. Verse number 3, let me see. Chapter 3, verse 5. How's that? In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. If just off the top of your head you're asked a Bible believer, what did Solomon ask for? The first thing they're going to say is wisdom. And God was pleased with that and loaded him up with everything else. Amen. Because he made the right choice. That's what we say. I want you to see what the Bible says. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. First thing Solomon asked for was an understanding heart in this matter that we're talking about right now. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? I tell you what, Solomon was well aware of the importance, because he was, at least at this point in his life, very conscious of whose people they were. He didn't say, my people. He didn't say, the people you've given me. He keeps it in the proper perspective. They're God's people. I'm telling you tonight, this is serious business. Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Amen. So you want to please God tonight? We're going to have to judge. The Bible says he that is spiritual judges all things. There are times maybe where you need to get away from a situation. You're not in a position. You're not qualified. You're not able to judge it fairly. But there's going to be times where you're going to need to, because the Bible says he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So when that day comes, you better ask God for good judging ability. Amen. Remember, the word judge meant to have the person that has the skill necessary to discern truth and propriety. And that's what Solomon asked for. And so you're going to have to ask God for an understanding heart like Solomon did to judge righteously. Amen. And praying for good, wise judging ability is one of the rules. If you're not willing to do that, get out of the judging business. You hear me tonight? Now, I'm getting close to the end. I'm not going to say last of all, because that would be, like, not true. But so, Matthew chapter 7. But we're closer than we were. Matthew chapter 7, let's all look at the absolute number one most famous verse in the entire Bible on judging. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. Lord speaking, Sermon on the Mount. Judge not that ye be not judged. Wait a minute. I thought we were preaching on how to judge right. Well, we are. Amen. We are. And listen, you're going to judge. You can't help it. Amen. And you're going to be judged. And because other people can't help it either. So, after he gives the most famous verse on judging, that nobody that can quote that can stick to, he gives you verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. You're going to judge. So could I say to you tonight, you better learn to judge mercifully. That's what the Lord's saying. You're going to judge. You better get a hold of something. You're going to be judged according to the way you did it. James chapter 2 and verse 13 says this, For he will have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. My pastor told me a long time ago, he said, David, learn to judge mercifully and to forgive easily. I don't want to hear that, man. I'm going to camp meetings. I like that, you know, slice and dice kind of stuff. Here's why you do it like that. Because that's the way you're going to want it when your time comes. Don't make people grovel for forgiveness unless you think you're going to enjoy it yourself. When you have to judge, you better judge mercifully. Now I'm going to give you the last rule of judging now. And we're right there in Matthew chapter 7. I'll look at verse number 3. And if you'll do this, well, you won't have such a hard time judging mercifully. Verse number 3. For why beholdest thou the mote? I looked that up. That's a tiny particle. Yeah. I mean, you can tell by the context, but I wanted to know. Amen. Tiny particle. Why behold the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How's that for a contrast the Lord's making there to illustrate something? Isn't that how the Bible teaches? Amen. A mote is a tiny particle. A beam is a beam. That's a big old chunk of lumber right there. You hear me? Amen. And the Lord's saying, I mean, he's making a point. He's illustrating it. How in the world can you detect some tiny flaw in someone else's life when you got that big old board sticking out of your face? Okay, I changed it a little. Amen. But you got the point. You got, at least I admitted it. Amen. In verse 5, here's what he says. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know what? The rule of judge, number one rule is, I give you that first, judge according to Scripture. But this is the next most important one. If you're going to do it right, judge yourself. Judge yourself. It says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It should be simple enough, but there's a reason why we don't judge ourselves. Why we engage the mouth before the heart. Yeah. Amen. We don't judge ourselves because that might mean we'd have to admit that we're wrong sometimes. I'm going to tell you something, man. All flesh is grass. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. And that's sometimes why we open our mouth before we even really examine what's coming out. So I just want to say, don't let pride cause you to break this very important rule of judging. Amen. Before you insert yourself, before you call yourself, claim yourself to be qualified to judge a matter. It's important business. Amen. You better be willing to examine yourself. Don't let pride keep you from admitting to yourself that you're not perfect. Because I got news for you. You are absolutely the only one that you have fooled. If you think you are. We're supposed to judge. A little message tonight on how to do it right. It says over there in Proverbs 31:9, open thy mouth. Judge righteously. Amen? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Let me give you the rules of judging. One more time. Judge according to Scripture. Amen? Make sure you have all the facts. Or stay out of it. You're going to look bad when it's over. Amen. Judge fairly. Oh, my soul, judge fairly. You want God to judge fairly. You want God to have all the facts. You want God to judge according to Scripture. Oh, yeah, we're going to hold Him to His Word. Well, He can hold us to His Word, too. Ask God for good judging ability. He invented the concept. He's the one that's got it. He's the one that can give it. Judge mercifully. Remember that. Even when you're right. Don't be so quick. We're not Muslims. Don't be so quick to cut heads off. They don't grow back. I'm serious, man. I've seen damage done that, I don't know, I guess it won't get straightened out to the judgment seat. Judge mercifully. Aren't you glad the Lord judged mercifully? When it came time for you, judge yourself. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. You may need to make some adjustments in how you judge. I know that when I got all this information, I had to change the way I think about some things. And I thank God for that, because I ask Him. I ask Him for help. I'm a knucklehead. Amen? Maybe you need to address how you judge or have judged. You might even have to ask God to forgive you about something. You may need to even ask somebody else to forgive you about something. But I'm going to tell you what, the devil hates that. The devil hates it when Christians put that stinking pride down and have more of a desire to please God and to help create that spirit that actually lends itself to revival by saying, brother, sister, I was wrong about something. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've seen God move when that happens. I don't know, but you deal with God as the Spirit, amen, impresses you. I mean, I know, I'd like to think that most of you come here to get something from the Lord. I hope you got something from the Lord tonight. Good judging ability. How to judge righteously. Let's all stand. Judge yourself. Amen. You know, Jesus Christ did some judging. You know what He did? He judged you and I worthy of eternal life. Boy, that's one I can't explain. The longer I'm saved, the better I get to know me. Better I get to know other Christians. Sometimes, some of them been at a long time, I think, really? You loved us that much? I don't get it, but I'm glad He did. I'm sorry He had to go to such great lengths to make redemption possible for you and I. But I'm sure glad He was willing. Amen? I want to do it right, don't you? What do you mean? Everything. Everything I can. Everything the Lord impresses me with. And this thing with judging, buddy, we do it all the time. This isn't some lofty, you know, this is every day, man. We do it. We need to do it right. Head bowed and eyes closed. I'm glad that I got eternal life. I'm glad that the gospel was presented to me. I'm glad that I called upon the name of the Lord one day. I wish it wouldn't have took a jail cell. I wish it had been a Thursday night in a church somewhere. But let me just say to you tonight, if you're not saved, you can be. If you're not saved, you need to be. Yeah, you need to be. And God made it so easy an old biker, convict, dope head like me could get it just by getting honest. And I wasn't famous for being honest with anybody, including myself. One day I got on and said, wow, I didn't get religion. I did not turn over a new leaf. And I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin. That Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Period. If you've never done that, if you've never heard it on this wise before, don't leave here. Don't leave here without asking someone to take a moment, to open a Bible. Follow what the preacher's got to say when I get out of the way here in about 2 seconds. The rest of you got the message. What you do with it between you and God. Father, I love you. Bless the invitation. And Pastor Stevens, as he comes, and may everything goes on now be according to thy will and pleasing in thy sight. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a minute as Anna plays. Now, it should be mentioned there's a couple of humps to get over in this message. The first thing is that he's addressed something tonight that is one of the most sacred cows in modern-day Christianity. And that is, it's universally understood that Christians are not supposed to judge. And you should be convinced as of now that that's not the case. We've not been given a pistol or a gavel. It's not our job to kill anybody or stone anybody. But you are called, you'll find in most of those passages, that judgment, one of the synonyms is discernment. You are called to discern right and wrong, to say so, and act upon it. Now with that said, it should be understood what he said here tonight, that there are some simple standards. And as a Christian, you're called to read the Bible and discern the mind of Jesus Christ and do something with what you learn. Judge yourself first, but you're called to judge some things, right and wrong, evil versus good. Your actions in a situation, you're called to make decisions. And you have to judge them. You have to discern. Now, again, Brother Spurgeon mentioned it, but first thing that has to be understood is that every soul standing here tonight is a deep and polluted sinner. And we all will stand one day before that Word of God and before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged. Are you sure you want to be judged for your sins on the basis of standing behind a religion that has given you a bunch of hoops to jump through? You've been baptized, you've had communion, you've been a good person, and you haven't committed adultery. Is that all it is? And it's not. Because Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross so your sins could be washed away if you would receive Him as your Savior. He offers to take your sins and give you perfect righteousness in return. If you don't understand salvation that way, you don't understand salvation. God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Listen, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you come and let somebody here in these aisles and rows take you aside privately? It's not, the interest is not to embarrass you publicly at all. There may be not many of us that even see your face, but would you come and let somebody take you aside privately and show you out of the Word of God how to be saved? Appreciate the visitors here tonight. Maybe some of you guys are not saved. I don't know. But would you come? And going beyond that, we've talked about judgment in our church for a long time. Try to give you the right balance on it. Can you say that you've met the standards that were set forth here tonight? If not, would you come? Take a hymn book, number 333. This is one of those songs you do well to savor the words that you're singing and make sure you don't disengage your understanding. Number 333. Good stuff, amen? Good stuff. We appreciate you being here tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7. So don't forget, if you want to help Josiah Project, they're going to pass out some tracks or flyers tomorrow about 1 o'clock, 1:30, something like that. If you can be here tomorrow, we'd really appreciate it. And we thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for giving. I'm sure that you were generous. And just keep praying for our meetings, folks, you folks from Blessed Hope. It's been good. And the rest of it's going to fly now. Once Friday hits, it just goes, poof, and it's Sunday night then before you know it. So just savor every moment and keep praying. All right? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Glad that there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Father, you've given us a channel. You've given us a way. And Lord, a lot of us, all of us here, or aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. We were the disobedient children upon whom the wrath of God abode. And you gave us a chance to be a part of the family of God. Let us have the honor of serving you. Lord, we ought to be very careful that we achieve a knowledge of the mind of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. I pray you'd help us in these things. Thank you for your admonishments. Thank you for dealing with us through the Word of God instead of harshly like you could. I pray that you'll bless now the rest of our week. We need your help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Good night, everybody.